Turn back to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Well, we'll begin in verse 8. Acts 14, 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. And Kaufman said, "This certain man provided an ideal opportunity for Paul to confirm that the gospel he preached was from the God of heaven by demonstrating God's power to heal. So there would be no mistake about the miracle. This man was chosen because of these characteristics. He had no strength in his feet. He was a cripple from his mother's womb. It was a well-known fact that this man had never walked." A certain school of critics, intent on establishing a theory that Luke invented certain events to force a parallel between the lives of Peter and Paul, like to point out similarities between this episode and the healing of the impotent man at the beautiful gate by Peter. And this, of course, is in Acts chapter 3 that we already covered a while back. But Kaufman says, "But there are monumental differences between these two accounts." And I'd never heard of this, but Kaufman said that there are critics that falsely accuse Luke of making up events such as this to parallel what actually happened with Peter. And Kaufman is going to say in here, he's proving the point that that is a ludicrous accusation. And these are two separate real accounts that happened. But anyway, here are four differences. So if Luke was making this up to parallel it with Peter, he didn't do a very good job, because there are here's four differences that are Kaufman says are monumental. First, here the healed person had great faith. There the inference is that the disabled man had no faith at all, the man that was just laying at the beautiful gate and asking for money. Here the man was listening to Paul's teaching. There the beggar was requesting donations alone. There Peter professed poverty. Here there was no mention of poverty on Paul's part. And four, there the miracle was followed by Peter's sermon. Here the mob tried to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. In fact, Kaufman says, there are far more differences than similarities. So that was easily shot down as a false accusation, that Luke did not make this up trying to emulate what Peter had done in the past. In performing the signs of an apostle, Paul had observed that the disabled man was attentive to the message, obviously believing it. And as Paul had doubtless made many references to Jesus' healing all manner of diseases, it suddenly appeared to Paul that the condition of the man's heart was such that he could be healed. Therefore, the command and the startling result. It is a mistake to view the man's faith as enabling Paul. It enabled the man to receive God's blessings through Paul. Paul understood that this man not only heard his preaching, but he also believed. It should be noted that the phrase "faith to be healed" simply means that this crippled man believed Paul could heal him. When all modern-day so-called faith healers fail to heal, the excuse is that the one being healed does not have enough faith. It should always be remembered that the one being healed does not have to have the faith. Rather, the one doing the healing is the one required to have faith. Verses 11 and 12. Now when the people saw that Paul, what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Okay, and notice they're speaking in the Lyconian language that Paul and Barnabas do not know. And so that is the explanation for why they are so advanced in getting ready to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods because they don't speak their language and they didn't know what they were saying. But as soon as Paul witnesses and sees what they're about to do, he goes and starts to rip his clothes and vehemently try to shut this down quickly. Kaufman said, "This accounts for the fact that Paul and Barnabas were not aware of the intention of the people until later. The crowd speaking in their native language of Lyconian explains why Paul and Barnabas did not grasp what was occurring until preparations to pay them divine honors were well advanced. We obtain some very important deductions from this inability of the apostles to understand the Lyconian language. This shows that the gift of tongues did not give the apostles power to speak or to understand every language." So it was only each individual only got received certain languages by God that they did not learn, that they could speak and understand. Not all of them. Verse 13. "Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. Paul and Barnabas were about to become the objects of the worship of these heathens. The idolaters made their way to them, leading bulls for each of the gods. The bull's horns were decorated with garlands or wreaths, commonly made of white wool, sometimes interwoven with leaves and flowers. The sacrifice was accomplished by cutting the throats of the oxen, catching the blood in a deep dish, and pouring the blood on the altar." Verse 14. "But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out." The tearing of the garments was a traditional reaction to blasphemy, and the sacrificial offering to mortal men was understood by Paul and Barnabas to be blasphemy. Being unable to get their attention any other way, they stopped the ill-conceived plan by running among the people and crying out, as in the next verse. So verses 15 to 17. So here Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes and were crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. He gave us rain from the heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And Kaufman said, "This appeal to the God as revealed in nature was appropriate for a pagan audience with little or no knowledge of the Word of God. And there are several important points in this speech. The fact that God created everything, and he is not a dead or lifeless God such as Zeus, but a living God, and likewise, the goodness of God is revealed in his providential care of mortals. All these concepts appear in Paul's address here." Paul explained the reason for his being there was to preach to them that they might know the living God. Paul attempted to focus the mind of his audience away from their dead idols to the living God. Until man learns of the living God, he is reduced to worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Here is the initial pattern for preaching the gospel to pagans. Paul started at the beginning. This pagan audience, with little or no knowledge of the Word of God, was soon to be introduced to the living God, creator of heaven and earth and all things therein. What a sharp contrast between the God who created the heavens and the earth and the gods that these pagans worshipped. On the one hand is the God who created all things, and on the other hand, the gods who have been made by men. So I like two of the statements that Kaufman put in these two paragraphs. First, until man learns of the living God, he is reduced to worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And we know many groups of people that worship the creation. They worship and think that the trees are what are important and the rainforest. And then there are those that worship the stars and the planets and think that that part of creation is what is important. But Kaufman has a very insightful statement here. Until man learns of the living God, he is reduced to worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And then he finishes up this with, on the one hand is the God who created all things, and on the other hand, the gods who have been made by men are what these men were worshiping, unfortunately. But So we will end here, but the next phrase and passage that happens is they go straightway and start to stone Paul, and they drag him out of the city and leave him for dead. So Lord willing, we will get to that in verse 18 next week.